What's up, guys? This is Paul from Golfers Authority, and welcome to Behind the Brand podcast. This week, I have my good friend Diego from McEwen Golf. McEwen's been around for a couple of years now. They make some phenomenal hats. Diego and I have been friends for a while, and I was like, hey, man, you'll be on my podcast? And he said, sure. So, sucker. Just kidding. So anyways, without further ado, this is McEwen Golf. So, hey, what's going on, Diego?
Paul, what's going on, my man?
Not much. Welcome to my garage. It doesn't really look like a garage. Well, half of it.
No, does. I know. It honestly looks unreal. I was like, you're still in your garage? What's going on?
Every day I try a little bit harder to like make it better. I was like, I should put a gym on the other side of the garage and get rid of those bikes, those kids' bikes. Yeah. So I had this idea. I was at the PGA show this year and I just realized that like a lot of brands don't get to tell their story. And I always find that so fascinating because, I mean, I talk to brands all the time and I have lots of friends. Like you and I have been friends for a couple of years. And like, I love hearing about how brands started out and, you know, just the background. And so I had this idea and this is what happened. So that's kind of like, you know, why I started it. So the first thing I always do when I talk to a new brand before I work with them is I always say, all right, what's your story? So that's the first question for you today is like, what is McEwen's story? Like, how did you come up with the name? First of all, how did you come up with the name McEwen?
That's a good question. You know, picking a name sucked. It genuinely was very difficult to find something that stuck and I liked. And we went through lists and lists of different things. And ultimately it, you know, it's funny, the process is very similar to how we go about creating our designs and our hats. A lot of research, kind of trying to find a story or something to piggyback off of. And for us, I was reading about one of the early club makers in Scotland, the McEwen family. And I don't believe they're in business anymore. It's been quite some time, but they were the best at their craft for a period. And I loved the name. I loved, they had a really cool logo. It was like the thistle logo. And it was just very golf. It was very vintage and just McEwen. I loved it and it stuck. I think that, you know, it kind of speaks to the history of the game. And I don't know, I wanted to kind of give it a new vibe. So that's why we went with it.
So what made you decide to do hats?
That one's easy. So I think it was just more of lack of options. Little background about me. I'm newer to golf. I played soccer my entire life. And, you know, a lot of people have this story, right? You play a sport and then after college, what next? You know, you do some rec leagues and just like, you know, everybody, like you get hurt. And I got hurt a lot. I partially tore my Achilles, my MCL. It was the worst. And it was just one of those things where I needed to find something else to do, another outlet for my own sanity. So a lot of my buddies golfed and, you know, it was funny. I remember the first time that they invited me out and it was just like, I had no golf, like, apparel or clothes or anything. I went to Dick's and I just spent like $300 on God knows what. I showed up with a red Nike, you know, polo trying to look like Tiger Woods and didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, it was a rough round. I remember that round, but I caught the bug. I really loved being out there and hanging out with friends, having a couple of drinks. And I kind of became obsessed. You know what I mean? I started taking lessons and playing more. And, you know, I started to kind of develop a taste for different brands and stuff that I like to wear. But, you know, when it came to hats, you know, after you have about 52 Travis Matthew hats or Titleist hats, it's kind of, you know, where do you go from there? And that's kind of how the idea kind of picked up was, you know, golf has such a rich history. There's so many things that you can play off of that I don't think people were really tapping into. And I, you know, kind of said to myself, I bet you could do that. You know, I've always kind of had like a creative side that I never really, you know, fostered or anything or worked on. And I always wanted to have my own business. I always wanted to kind of go out there and do my own thing. So I kind of put the two together, love of golf and trying to make something, you know, unique. And, you know, the biggest thing is when you go to like a lot of golfing events or tour events and you see a bunch of people wearing like a bunch of different gear, you kind of think to yourself like, oh man, where did that guy get that hat? And that's kind of been our mission and our goal is, you know, for people to stand out. And it's almost like if you know, then you know type thing with a lot of our designs. They're very, very specific to golf. But golf has a hardcore following and people love it and they get it. And a lot of our designs really do speak to them. So it's been fun. It's been a wild ride so far.
So what year did you start McEwen then? What year is that?
So 2017 is when I actually created, you know, got the company set up and all that stuff. But it wasn't really until 2018 that I released our first designs. So it was definitely a huge learning curve. Getting into e-commerce, learning how to build a website, how to talk to an audience, just so much goes into
it. I know, I hear you, bro.
And it was very overwhelming because obviously, you know, I still have a full-time job outside of this. And it was a lot. You know, I'd work all day and then, you know, wait till everybody kind of left the office. And then, you know, from 6 or 7 o'clock until 10 or 11 o'clock, that was my McEwen time. I'd just sit there and grind away. And you know, it was funny. I bought so many of these courses that now I'm like, oh my God, think about how much money you spent trying to learn how to do all this stuff. You know, it's part of the journey. It's a learning experience, right? So, you know, I don't regret it or anything. It's just like, you know, people always ask you like, hey, if you could do it differently, how, you know, what would you do? There's a lot of little things that I would have done, but again, more of a learning experience. And yeah.
So when you started out McEwen and then, cause I mean, I know this about you cause we've talked about it before, like, I remember you told me like your whole house was full of hats. Yeah. And you're like, I got way too many hats. I got to get rid of these things.
Yeah. So tell us, it was bad.
Yeah. Tell us like how you figured out the right hat. Cause I mean, this is a really cool story. Cause I mean, this is the way you're supposed to do something. I feel like.
Yeah. It was like, it was left and right, just testing everything, different brands. I had to learn about embroidery. Like, you know, a lot of people assume we do a lot of custom work now for people and people just assume like, hey, I got a cool design and a cool logo, like throw it on a hat. And it's like, it's not that simple. And it's the intricacies of learning how to, you know, what lines work. Is it, you know, too bold? Is it too thin? And like, is it going to actually work with embroidery? It's a whole like art in itself. And it took me forever. And it's funny. I like still have some of our first samples and they look like a second grader put them together. It's just like garbage. And I remember thinking in the beginning, like, oh my God, like what am I doing? Because all of a sudden I have like 50, 60, 70, 100 hats just lying around. But over time, you know, over the course of about a year, I really learned what worked, what didn't work, how to get embroidery to work towards what we were trying to.
Yeah. Like you honed your skill.
Put out there. Yeah.
You know, like you knew. It wasn't like somebody said, oh yeah, you need to buy X hat because that's the best hat. Like, you're mm-hmm. like, that hat sucks. Like, actually, other hat's better because I've tested it and I
yeah. know.
And like, no one does that, right? It's like going into a shirt business. You're like, I'm going to start making shirts through some website. And then like, it's the crappiest shirt on the planet. And once you get it in the mail, you're like, oh, this is a piece of crap.
So I did have stuff to work off of. Like I knew that there were specific problems that we're still trying to solve today because we're ultimately creating our own hat. That's the end goal and a line of hats that we can use. Right now, we try to piggyback off of the best brands that we can. You know, I'm a Richardson guy through and through. They're more of a baseball hat company, but I think that a lot of their hats are perfect for golf. It's funny. I was on the phone with them earlier this week and talking to one of their head sales guys over there. He had no idea that like these hats actually cater to golf. And he was like, oh, I never really thought of that from that perspective. So, And it's like, well, guess what? You know, for me, like, Travis Matthews, right? Let's go back to that example. Early on, like my roommate in college was obsessed with him. He was a big golf guy. And I had like literally like 30, 40, 50 Travis Matthews hats lying around. And as I got into golf and started, you know, buying their gear, I realized that those hats fell apart. And, you know, it was really funny to kind of learn and navigate the market and like, oh, cool. This is like what brand this brand uses. And this is the type of hat that this brand uses. And I seriously tested them all. And that was the biggest kind of thing with deciding which hats to move forward with. Because there's so many styles, there's so many things to choose from, but we want something that not only looks good and it fits good, but it's going to last.
Yeah, I know, like, cause you definitely stand behind your product. Like if some, like, and we've talked about it, we're like, if it's not right, somebody's to tell you and you'll send them another hat. Like, no problem whatsoever, because it's yours. That's yours. Yeah. Like, you know, like, wait a minute, what do you mean that's not right? And you're trying to figure out like what actually happened during the process so that it doesn't happen.
I take it very personally. I really do. Like, I'm not tooting my own horn here, but our returns are very, very low. You can probably count them on one hand. And the reason for that is I try to fix everything as quickly as possible. If somebody has a defect with the hat for whatever reason, God forbid, I try to get them on the phone. I talk to them and I give them their options. And I just try to really personalize the process as much as I can. And instead of looking at our customers, it's just, you know, these are people that buy from us. These are people that are going to be wearing our hats and, you know, hopefully coming back and buying more and adding more hats to the rotation. So we want to take care of people. And again, it's a learning process. Not everything is just going to fall into place perfectly, but you got to try.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, right now, before I met you, I had like pretty much like probably two golf hats, right? I had my Titleist mm-hmm. hat that everybody has, the white one, it's just Titleist, right? So you get, yeah. You get at the random golf clubhouse somewhere. And then I had like an old like Nike hat that was pretty much trashed. And then what I felt was so cool when I the way I found you was on Instagram, right? And mm-hmm. at the time, you know, you're still starting out still. But what was cool is that like the innovation behind the hat or the style mm-hmm. of the hat, because like nobody does that. And I guess if you're a golf nerd, like it's pretty cool, you guys, because what he does is like he encapsulates an event or a moment in golf that you know already, but only because you're into golf, but it's so cool. You're like, oh, I gotta get that hat. Like, for example, right? Like today I got this hat on right now. I probably have 16 hats on my wall. I showed them earlier. Most of them are Diego's. And like, so this is the Noise hat, right? And this is from the Waste Management Open, but it's like, well, if you know anything about Waste Management Open, it's like the noisiest tournament in the world, especially on 16. And like, this isn't being quiet. This is noise. Like it's you just know it. And when you see something, you know, like last year, my favorite hat you did was the Bethpage Black you'd done. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was a fun hat. And, you know, for me, it's going to these events and really understanding the vibe and trying to pick kind of concepts that work that people will get. So you nailed it. I mean, I've been to the Waste Management 3 times. It's probably one of my most fun tournament I've been to. Just because it's a party. It's honestly like one big party and there's golf and it's a ton of fun. But yeah, the one thing that you notice is everybody is heckling everybody and it's very unique in that way. So, you know, you look at the Rangers that are putting up these quiet paddles and it's like, dude, why are you even bothering? Like, it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the wrong course.
So that was kind of like the concept behind it. So yeah, I think you definitely touched upon something that we're trying to do and it's, you know, like, I get that. I get what you're doing with that. Obviously, I'm into golf, but where'd you get that hat?
It's like your shirt, right? I know that came from your Masters collection. Or not Masters. Masters Inspired.
Patrons only.
You know, whatever the rules
are. Let's not get into any legal trouble here.
Patrons only collection.
Right.
But, I mean, if you look at that and you're into golf, you know what that is, right? So it's like you symbolize. You don't have to take the object and be like, oh, look, it's a picture of Arizona and then there's a flag on top of Waste Management. You know, it's mm-hmm. more like, oh, it's Waste Management. Like you just know the tournament by the intricacies of whatever that tournament has, right? Like
exactly.
Or even the Bethpage Black, which you did is like, you know, it looks like Long Island or whatever, wasn't it?
Well, it's because it is Long
Island. I know, but it's like black with a picture of Long Island on it.
Right.
And you're like, I get it. You know,
and it's Farmingdale. And honestly, I wore that hat there, and people were like, "Is that in the pro shop?" And it's like, no, so am I.
Well, the first thing when I went to Waste Management this year, like the first thing I did, and I walked in and I just bought a ton of crap. Right, like I have two hats over there. I got a Puma hat. It's pretty mm-hmm. cool. And I got like a Waste Management hat.
Puma does cool designs.
Yeah, really cool. White and it has like this cork middle and then it mm-hmm. has a P in it. It's really cool. I was like, oh, it's a cool hat.
Yeah.
That's why I bought it. I don't usually buy random two hats. But, you know, if I had your hat on, then I would have been like, oh, I know I would have gotten asked the same question. Like, oh, where's that hat? You know, you would have sold a million of those things. I should have standing out front, you know, with like.
Did you get it like the week after?
I did. He said like a week after, like, dude, the package come yet? No. And then when it finally came, like it was like that. It was like Sunday afternoon. No, it wasn't Sunday afternoon. It was
story of my life.
Something happened. I was like, no, man. But I had
next year.
I should have been like standing out front of the Waste Management Open, like with like $1 water bottles and then like your hats. Be like $1 water, and we get $25 hat. Buy it now.
I want to go next year. I didn't go this past year, but I'd love to go next year. I love that tournament.
Yeah, it's sick. It's a lot of fun. This year was really fun just because, I got to hang out with like the guys from True, and it was just a good time. It was a good time. It's a lot of walking. That's for damn sure.
For sure. No, at the end of the day, you're like tired.
Dude, after one day, I didn't want to go back. Like, I was just like, oh man. And like my friend ended up getting like a box for 4 days and first clients and whatever. And he was like, by day two, he was like, I don't even want to go back. I'm done. And I'm like, well, you got a box for 4 days, bro. He's already spent that money. So, I mean, it's a good time. I love it. And it's also, I always feel like, okay, with golf, you know, October comes, you're like, crap. And then, you know, winter's going to slow down. And then at least in Arizona, it starts overseeding. Right. So there's no golf in October. Mid-November shows up. Mm-hmm. You finally start playing golf. And it's like super, super, super expensive. And then you get through Christmas. And then Waste Management's right around the corner. And I don't really, no offense, PGA, but like, I don't really think the tournament at Kapalua is the, I know it's the beginning of the season, but I really don't feel like it is because like, it's Hawaii, right? Like, but
I know. I did play there this year I was there for my honeymoon and it was unreal, but I feel like if I hadn't gone there and experienced it, I'd be on the same page. I'd be like,
It's a really pretty course. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it's removed from the United States.
It's like a warm up. It's like a warm up.
Yeah, like no one's watching golf the second week of January. No one gives a crap. And then, you know, end of June or in January, you're like, what is it? PGA show and then Waste Management Open. And now you know golf is alive, right? And that's what I feel like. But so you started at what, 17? And then you build out your website.
Actually, our first like collection, if you want to call that, it was the Ryder Cup that was 2018, right? We did like USA designs for the Ryder Cup.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I'm actually looking at our new one.
The USA hat you were.
Yeah. So we had like a USA one. We had a couple of Ryder Cup. So like, this is our new one. So like for me, it's like come full circle. It's like, cool. We're on our second Ryder Cup now. And you know, now we're putting together some designs for that. And it's unbelievable. Cool. Like the journey and how much better our designs are getting and put together. Yeah, I'm just like, I hope it happens, right? Who knows where they go.
Okay, so like golf's supposed to start what in like June? What do they say, 8th or 10th? I don't even remember.
I honestly don't know at this point.
I don't know.
I have no clue. I think they're going to do it without audiences, right?
Yeah.
Without fans.
We'll see how that turns out. I mean, yay.
Can you imagine a Ryder Cup without fans?
No. Could you imagine like Phoenix Open without fans? It'd be like crickets.
Yeah, it'd be dumb.
No one would watch that. I mean, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, at this point, I'll watch anything.
I know. I'm so burned out.
I was like bowling on the other day. And I was like, all right.
Bowling. Don't go there, bro.
I'm desperate. All I have to watch right now is The Last Dance on Sundays because the Michael Jordan thing is unreal. And that's about it. Like, I remember I was watching a bunch of like reruns of golf for a while, but then it just got depressed. I do think the Masters stuff was awesome. I think that Masters was visit or replay, whatever they called it. That was really cool to have Tiger on there.
I mean, it's going to be okay like in November, I think. I mean, it's going to be kind of cool because usually golf's over, but it's not because now we have Masters in November. So it's going to be like this like little spike in golf at the end of the year that we
Sure, because that's never happened, right? I mean, can you imagine a fall Masters?
It's probably going to be beautiful, you know, like the course.
It's going to be gorgeous.
Like,
yeah.
Now, why is that?
Get like all burned up and...
Right now, it's all burned up, I thought. Isn't it like...
Maybe you're right.
I don't know. I understand it, and maybe I'm wrong, is like the Masters is like perfect when they have it because the grass is perfect, right? And I think it's like the winter rye. Like we have winter rye in Arizona, right? And then it goes to Bermuda, which is crap and ugly. And then... But I think that's what it is. They have to overseed in
October. And they close down for like the summer or whatever, right? Because it's too hot.
Yeah. Well, I think in the Masters, they're going to probably overseed, put the rye grass in, make it look all pretty, and then it'll be like, you know, for November. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. It just kind of sucks, man. I haven't even played. Like, I was talking to Jason Moore last week, and he's like, he just went out golfing for the first time in like 9 weeks or something. And he got hurt. So he was telling me, he's like, I hurt my back.
That sucks.
I'm like afraid to go golf. I'm not afraid to go golfing. They never really close golf out here, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in New York and Connecticut's been open. Massachusetts just opened last week, but I haven't gone at all. Like, I was actually golfing a decent amount because the weather's been actually pretty nice this year. And I got a course 10 minutes down the road. So, you know, New York obviously was hit pretty hard, you know, by this.
Big time.
Yeah. So it just sucks. Like, I want to go out, but at the same time, like, I don't know. It's tough. I chip a little bit in the backyard. That's about it.
I'm too busy homeschooling my kids for two more weeks and working. So
God bless you.
I was telling you earlier, I was like talking to Jim McCarthy at Curie yesterday, and he's doing the same thing, like homeschooling his kids and trying to work. It's like, it's,
freaking,
oh my God, I just want to get summer to start. And we're building a pool. Seriously. So it's like my yard's completely destroyed. I'm like, come on, I need to get this pool done. Let's go, people. All right. So when we first met, then how many, like, so that was, let's say, this is 19. So in 2019, then what styles first, like, that was like your, I feel like that was kind of like your breakout year was 19. Because you had a ton of new designs that had come out for a lot of those tournaments.
Yeah. We also started, right. And we started getting into patches too, which was a game changer for us. I think we really started to build an identity around that. And the reason for patches was we could get more detailed with our designs and just the designs would get cleaner with patches. So
I agree.
We still do, you know, a decent amount of direct embroidery, but if I can, and I plan, you know, try to plan out ahead as much as I can, but we can do patches. They usually come out, you know, pretty good. So like the hat that you're wearing, like, I think it looks a lot better with the patch.
Oh yeah. I think, I have direct embroidery. Like, so insider story here. So like, when was that? Like, the first week in January, I called you and I was like, hey, I need hats for the PGA show. Remember that? And you guys ordered like six hats. And I gave away all but two. And Damon gave away all but two. Like, so we each had two left out of six, right? And like, they're really nice hats. Weren't those flex fits? I think they're flex fits, weren't they?
Yeah. I
love that style. And it looks good with, like, you don't need to have the patch on. Direct embroidery looks pretty good on a flex fit. I do like the patch though better because it's interchangeable. I mean, you can pretty much go with anything, you know? Yeah. It really stands out. It doesn't blend into the hat.
Right. See, I like flex fits for the course. And like you said, a lot of the times the styles that we use embroider really nice. You know, from a business perspective, it sucks. We have to have multiple sizes and you never know what designs are going to be a hit and what, you know, designs aren't. So that's tough in navigating that. I think, you know, we've kind of built a formula around showing our audience kind of like the process of coming from beginning to end, right? So like I'll post a picture of like sketches and like, you know, we'll post pictures of the first samples and start to kind of like build some momentum that way.
That's smart.
We usually know pretty, you know, by the time we're ready to kind of pull the trigger on the design. We know whether or not our audience likes it and want it.
Yeah, so you're gonna know. Yeah, exactly. It's not like, oh, I think this is a cool hat, and you're like, the dumbest hat on the planet, no one's gonna buy it,
right?
But you think it's gonna be cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I think,
and
that's really,
you know, speaking on that vein, like, we don't actually do a lot of like McEwen branded stuff. You don't see like us overly kind of throwing that out there, which is something that I do see a lot of brands do just because we're newer and I don't think we're there yet. So a lot of the designs that you see are really just art, like it's art, right?
It's golf art.
Yeah.
It's like golf art on a hat, and you might
put stamped with McEwen on it. You know what I mean? So I actually like that. I think that makes us a little bit different.
No one else does it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a differentiator because you're making a very, you know, it's like a multi-level process, right? It's a quality hat, right? Like whatever hat you use, whether it's a Richardson or a flex fit, you already know it's going to be a nice hat. It's not a piece of crap hat, right?
Right.
And then that's just the base. And then whatever, you know, and then the design on top of it is going to be a well thought out piece of art. Right. That
for me, it's if we put together a quality product and the design's on point, people will come back. They'll buy it and they'll continue to come back and they'll trust us. And that's kind of the guiding light that I've had, you know, in my mind for the past 2 years is spend more on the product. It's worth it. People will appreciate it.
Especially if you just threw like your logo on every hat, you know what I mean? Or like a design with your logo, people would be like, what's that? You know?
Who are you?
It's like, okay, no, but if it's like, I mean, I know, like, not, and you guys, like, very there's a very small percentage that he puts his logo on, right? So most of the time, if it's there, it's very small, right? And if it's not, I mean, you might have your standard like McEwen hat, right, with an M on it or something like that. But that's just for you to have. But like your custom designs that you guys come up with are not. You know it's McEwen because the way it looks, not because it has McEwen on it, I guess is a better way of saying it.
Right. And one thing we've been doing to get some branding on it is we do like woven labels, and I'm big on like a pop of color. So we've been, it's funny because we're on our like fourth or fifth color for the labels. So I'm trying to think if I have. Yeah. So like this was, one of the patrons only last design that we did, but we do something like this. You know what I mean? Where it's just.
I never got that hat. What the hell?
Well, this is newer.
I got a 5-month-old hat, and I can do my podcast. What the hell, man?
No, but I mean that's kind of like that's what we do for branding. You know what I mean? We get a couple of labels, and we've been playing around with different colors, and it pops. We, as you notice on our site, like we do a ton of white hats, which some people like, some people don't. It is what it is. It's white. You know, there's a reason why we choose Richardson. Those hats tend to last longer because some people are worried that they're going to get dirty and they're going to fall apart. But
whatever, buy another one.
Yeah, exactly. And I've tested these bad boys out. They last. So pop a color, it works.
So what is your plan for this year, for 20? Like what's coming out this year? Like what is
a lot going on this year. Despite everything that's going on, this has been an unreal ride for us where we're selling hats left and right. We've made a lot of partnerships. We're in the works with a lot of other collaborations and partnerships, which I love. You know, at the core of things, we're a hat company and I want to remain there. But we want to partner with brands that kind of we see have the same vision and have quality products that we can kind of pair our designs with their products. So the example would be Linksoul. You know, we've had a partnership with them for about 2-3 months at this point, and it's been unreal. Just meeting and working with the different people there, and they have such great products at good prices. It's not like you're out there buying a $90 or $100 polo. It's good price points. And you know, this is a Linksoul polo where it's awesome for the course. It's awesome casual. And, you know, we can directly embroider, you know, our designs on it. And I love that. That's exactly what we're looking for in a partner. Another example is Jones. We've done some work with them for a little bit now. And just another great golf company, just kind of like, you know, top of their game. And all their products are great. Coolers, and we're getting some bags done now. So we want to expand kind of our offerings from that end, not just hats, because we see the value in our designs kind of in piggybacking on these great products. But there's a lot of different directions that we can go. So it's interesting. You know, we're starting kind of not separate, but you know, kind of a vein where we're doing a lot of custom work for other brands, for golf leagues, golf courses. In my mind, I have this idea where it'd be really awesome to start updating, you know, logos at country clubs and, you know, golf courses, people that just never really updated their original logos. Like, hey, if we put a fresh spin on it, do you think you'll sell hats? And more often than not, the answer is yes. So, we think that there's just a lot of opportunity in that end of things, but seeing as we've kind of gone through this journey and learned how to build, you know, something, obviously we're still learning, but helping other brands too, other people that want to get into something like this and they want to get their designs out there and their brands, and they don't know how to navigate manufacturers and getting things done and kind of like a system to get it done. We're kind of stepping in as well to offer, you know, consulting and making the designs come to life, which has been a lot of fun. It's been interesting meeting a bunch of different people and working with them and trying to make their vision come to life. But there's, you know, those two aspects of it. And then obviously we need to plan for the year.
And now now the tournaments are all jacked.
It's honestly awesome because it gives us more time to, like, I'm already on 2021 at this point. We're starting to put together our designs for that.
Really?
It
slows you. I feel like the last 2 months has given me a lot of time to like really figure out direction and like get stuff done that like, so like, you know, when you're busy,
you have the time to do.
Yeah. When you're doing the day-to-day grind of whatever it is, like you don't have time. These are always to fall on the back burner. So it's like what I've gotten in my garage done. No freaking way, dude. Like, you know, and that's just a small part of it. And I think that's the only upside to what's happening, I feel like. And like, okay, well, you're able to get some stuff done that you
I think in direction. One of the biggest takeaways from last year was we would have these ideas for these designs and like the tournament would be 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was just like no time to like get it the way that we want and promote it and market it and get feedback from people. So for like this year, my goal was to like, and we already started last year, like planning for this year, which made it a lot easier. So like we already had our designs for the first major, the second major, the third major. Now it's been great because now we can add like second, maybe, you know, three designs for these tournaments because we have the time and it's going to be pushed back towards, you know, Q3, Q4. But that was a big kind of headache for us and speed bump was we just didn't give ourselves enough time to be successful for a lot of our jobs. So,
and it's very stressful, right? Because very, now you're like pushing, you have a deadline. You can't move it.
When
right?
I put dates on stuff, it automatically drives me insane because like, for example, our new drop this month, we're trying to do the 23rd and the 28th. We're going to do a two drop, you know, type deal. A lot of it is restock from last month. We sold out in a week and we were so overwhelmed. It was like our process, typically when there isn't a global pandemic, is print on demand and it works. We typically have the hats on stock. We have the patches on stock. It allows us to control the designs and what we want to do. And it's not just like, hey, instead of ordering 1,000 of this design or 2,000 of this design, let's just have the hats. And if the design doesn't work, we'll put it on something else. You know what I mean? Like it gives us flexibility now. Also, it allows us to pivot when people say, I don't like that style, do you offer this style? And then we can go and get that style of hat and then put the same design on. So
you're not stuck with inventory.
Exactly.
That will never sell.
Right. So again, it gives us options, which I like, but it was tough last month where, you know, we sold 400 or 500 of these and we weren't prepared for that. The supply chains were, you know, obviously blocked and, you know, we can only have a couple of people in the shop at a time putting these together. So it was like, it was our most successful month, but at the same time, it was our most stressful month by like far.
Yeah. Because you have sales that can't be done.
And it's
completely one of those things out of like, your control.
Right. And it, you know, I personally think we did a good job handling communication and going out there and setting expectations for people. Like there were maybe two or three people that were livid that it took 2.5 weeks, you know, for them to get their hat. It's like, I get it. I truly do understand. I'd be annoyed too. What we tried to do is we went out there and we said like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we're finding. We need to make sure that we, you know, have the health standards in place and are, you know, obviously the people that work to get this stuff put together, like aren't getting sick. And the team killed it. I mean, we're not their only client, the manufacturer that we used, and they got it done. And I tried to just go above and beyond. I tried to give every single one of our customers, you know, personal attention and let them know that like, hey man, I get it. This is what's going on. This is where your order's at. You know, we're doing everything we can to get it out to you. And I'm actually most proud of that. It's less about the sales. It was more about the communication and talking to our customers and the feedback that we got. People appreciated just letting them know like, oh, my order didn't get lost.
It's from you. It's not from like some random person.
Right.
Like,
well, hey. My wife jumped on at the end to help and she has made my life
yeah, but that's
100 different. Times easier.
Yeah.
So you'll either hear from DC or Allison. And she is a godsend. She is, you know, I can actually sleep at night when she helps out because it's just, I don't need to worry about little things that I missed or, you know, putting stuff together. So she keeps me organized. She keeps me on my toes and it's been awesome, to have her help.
Yeah. I mean, having that kind of support helps you like grow, right? You will be able to do it. I mean, that's like me, right? My wife didn't support me. There's no way I'd be doing this right now. So, I mean, that's awesome.
Sure.
I mean, I love your products. Like seriously, like I only wear your hats. That's it now. I still have that one dumb Titleist hat. I don't even know where it's at. It's probably
in the corner of my garage. Still a good company.
I'm like looking over there. I'm like, is that hat in that corner? No, I don't even think it's there. Sometimes my son wears it. I mean, it's a good hat. Don't get me wrong. Titleist. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have 12 hats over there. They're yours. I mean, just different styles for the last year that you've sent or that we've reviewed or whatever. But I mean, to us, like, you know, you're our favorite hat brand. That's what we work with, right? That's what we like.
Love it. You know, at this point, it's fun too, because as we do this longer and we get better relationships and we learn about new techniques of getting our designs done, like we can go back and redo a lot of designs that we've done and make them better. You know what I mean? Like next January, I'll probably have a new version of that noise paddle hat and it'll look even better. And that's the thing that like really gets me excited is as we're just getting better and better with every single drop and the designs are starting to come out cleaner. And I can't wait until the day that we've like from point A to point B, we've built our own hat. You know what I mean? And I'm excited. I'm really excited to get to that point. I think it'll be a game changer. There's a lot of great hat companies out there now, but we want to stick with golf. That's kind of our main audience. And we want to create the ideal golf hat. And not only that, but have a design that's going to pop and make sure that we stand out.
No, yeah, that's why I like your hats, because one, they're innovative. I've talked to other people too, right? Like that we both know that have your hats, and they say the same things. They're like, we just saw it on Instagram. We're like, holy crap, I get that. I get what that is, you know?
Right.
And then, I mean, that's saying something when somebody just sees your item and understands it and then wants to buy it because they understand it and it's cool. Not like it's being shoved down their throat. Like, oh, this is cool. Well, not really. But I mean, so then for this year, then how many hats do you think you're dropping?
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't have a number on it right now. It's more, it's drop by drop. That's the way that we kind of do it. So I'm planning the next 2 months. We have our patches and our designs that are coming out for that. So we just rebranded a little bit. We have a new kind of logo. We went with a nautical kind of New England theme where it's two flags. And it's the flags for M and the flags for G, the nautical flags. And it's awesome because the one for M is actually like a Scottish flag. So that kind of fits perfectly with our roots, and it just came out really nice. So we have patches for that coming out for next month, for June, July. We have another iteration of our patrons only, just kind of another take on it. And then we're doing an updated version of our Frank hat, which I'm super proud of. I've always loved that design. It was kind of our first winner. You know, we came out with that design in like October or November of 2018. And I was inspired, obviously, by the old Nike commercials with Frank. And they gave him, like, was it Paul Giamatti's voice or whatever? And they're a riot. And at that point, it was tough to come up with designs. But that one just... I was shocked that no one had done it yet. And then following, obviously, that next April, you see Tiger Woods, you know, doing a pre like Masters round conference or whatever. And he's wearing the Nike Frank logo. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, now we got to compete with Nike. But it worked out. I'm biased, but I like our design better. But also Nike didn't really have the ability to just drop a ton of that design right away. It took them months and months for them to finally release stuff. So we kind of rode their wave. It was almost like free marketing. People found our Frank and they're like, oh, that's so cool. Where do I get it? And it was great for us. So we actually just finished coming up with our updated design. We got a bunch, as you know, we got a bunch of merch coming out. Hats, polos, working with Jones for some accessories. And you know, working on some other stuff in the background, right? So we'll definitely see a lot of USA designs. And then, yeah, we'll take it from there. We'll have another crack at the Masters. We got a couple of fall Master themes that we're playing around with, but I'm excited. It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. I mean, the last 2 months have been crappy, right? For everybody. That's two
for
months,
sure.
I guess.
Sure.
But I mean, like, if things are getting better, you know, medically or stay the same or start flattening the curve, whatever they say. And then, you know, we're able to like at least be outdoors and play. I don't know. I feel like I'm like, thank God summer's almost here. It's like when you're in college, you have finals week and you're like dreading. So you're like 2 weeks of studying.
I know. I feel like we've been in finals weeks for like months.
That's what I feel like. And you're so tired. You're so stressed out.
It's a good analogy.
It feels like finals week, right? Like, you know, when it's like, you know, like a month left of school and you're like in college and you're like, oh, God. We have one more regular week, and then we have 2 weeks of studying, and then finals, and it's like, or whatever. It's like that in law school too. I hated that, and you know, that's what I feel like. I'm so freaking tired. But I mean, I'm glad that like things are getting better, so that I can see it. It's kind of cool because I can see it with the website. I can see it with traffic. I get lots of emails from like my, you know, subscribers and fans or whatever asking questions. So I can see it. People are like tired of being cooped up at home and just want to like out. Like, I know.
I mean, we've never had so much support ever. You know what I mean? Like, people are still buying, and you know, it's just like, it's more of, we don't have the product right now. It's about restocking and making sure that we can continue to, you know, give people what they want. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the feedback and the fact that people really get what we're trying to do. And it's more about scaling at this point, right? Let's get more people, more hats, and let's continue to.
It'd be kind of cool. Like, you should someday, if it was me, this is my company, is like, I make this big wall thing. And I kind of saw at the PGA, like, Titleist had this big wall thing where, like, all the balls, like, all, like, and then in the middle is the Titleist, right? It was really cool. Mm-hmm. You should do that with all your patch designs, like, over the years. It'd be so sick.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, almost like a progression.
Yeah. Like, and it's almost like, yeah. I think it'd be cool.
No, that would be cool. It'd be cool. Something to throw on the wall.
Yeah, on a wall. And you just be like, oh, look, check this out. This is like, look, here's our very first design. And you could like laugh and then you could tell the story like, oh, yeah, that's when we did this. And that was because
mine is like, the first hat that we did is like in a box in the attic. And like, we don't look at it. It's bad. It's bad.
It's like a Titleist hat and you rip off the word Titleist and you like,
yeah, you like spell Titleist wrong.
I've seen those hats.
Well, they're out there.
Well, cool, man. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
And like I said, you guys, like, you want a really cool hat, check them out. I mean, they're the only hat I wear right now because I like the way they look and they're innovative. They're just, I guess the words are innovative. They're just art. It's the best way I can describe it.
Thank you. Making me blush over here.
Uh-oh. But
like, I want to plug a couple things while I have you. So we're switching up some of the things that we're doing for giveaways. I love doing giveaways. It's a good way for us to kind of get our name out there and people to discover us. So we're doing monthly giveaways. So every month, usually it's like a newer design. So just follow us on Instagram. So I'm McEwen Golf. And then we're going to start doing essentially like a hashtag thing. We have these awesome McEwen custom balls from Cut Golf. Those guys are really cool. So we're going to be sending people one of those balls and then a hat of their choice if they post an image of them with their McEwen gear. So cool. We want to continue to kind of grow our following. And, you know, it's awesome to see all the people kind of posting their pictures, their hats and their polos and t-shirts and stuff like that. So we want to keep that going.
Yeah, Cut. I love Cut, man. Like, I know Joe over there and like, we reviewed their balls, I think back in November, and he sent us like,
they're super nice.
They're cool looking balls. Like, there's like all the different colors. It's like,
We get the orange one, but they're really cool. We put our new flag on them and, you know, we're going to be giving those away as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, awesome. Well, thanks again for being on the show. You guys check out McEwen Golf.
You just had a moment.
I had a moment.
Yeah, you were like, we should do that.
I did. Did you see that? That was like in slow motion. I was like looking up and I was like, we should do that. I say that a lot. Yeah. And then I just like, I'm going to put that in my brain. You got me all worried there. I was like, oh man, I lose audio. And then you realize like, no, at a moment. I'm like, oh yeah. But yeah, check out McEwen Golf, you guys. They make great hats. You're going to love it. I swear. And then you should check out his Instagram page because you can see kind of the older styles they've done. You're going to be pretty impressed. But thanks for coming on. I know I like, texted you last night and I was like, hey, you want to be on my show today? And you're like, yeah, sure, whatever. So thanks for coming on short notice. Appreciate it.
Always for you, brother.
Awesome. Well, you have a good rest of the day and I'll talk to you probably later this weekend. I like talking to you like, all the time. All right, see you later.
Later, man.
All right, bye.